Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Salita.
Good evening, everyone. I know it's been a while. This is Salita with Say Your Peace. My co-host, Brian, is out tonight. So I'm going to do a loner. I'm sorry that we haven't been on the air for the last two Saturdays. I just thought it was time for us to take a break because me and Brian, we work on several different cases. I got this show, and I got another show I do, and then plus we do a show together. So it's like I said, you know what, let's just take a break for a little bit, recuperate, and then let's come back. And I'll probably do this from time to time because it is a lot of work trying to do a lot, you know, juggle your way around everything. And that's what I've been doing, and that's what he's been doing. So we've kind of taken away from, let's take a break away from Blog Talk for a little bit. But I am so glad I am back. You guys, guess what? Monday is Labor Day. You know, these holidays come up on you so quick that, you know, you're so wrapped up in your own world, you don't even realize, you know, that they're, you know, you got a holiday coming up. And I didn't. I didn't know we had a three-day weekend. It didn't even cross my mind, you know, until somebody said, you know, Monday's Labor Day, everything's closed. They're like, okay, I didn't know that, you know. But that's just how things are. I'm hoping everybody has had a great week. I know I've had a trying week, and I'm going to chalk it up to thanking God for at least letting me get through it, because a lot of people are not making it through 1 week at a time. Some people are not making it through 2 weeks at a time. Some people are not even making it through the day, but I am, and I thank God for that. And I think I'm hoping everybody else is enjoying, you know, your time off, and I'm hoping you are living the life that you want to live. And if you're not, you should begin to, okay? Now, with that said, I want to do a couple of updates on certain things that's been going on. You know, a couple of weeks ago, over a month ago, because we missed two Saturdays already, about a month ago, we brought on a story about his name was Bruce Smith, and his son drowned allegedly in Eros, Louisiana. And I know you probably, if you listen to other shows, you probably heard about this young man. Well, so far we've got a little, you know, we're working on his case, and I just want to kind of give you an update. We found some good information on it. I really don't want to give the information out just yet. I just want to say we got some, you know, that we're working on it, and we have some good news for him. So I don't want to go into detail about it, but that's an update on that. We have some good news for him, and hopefully what we've done and what we're doing for him will very much so get the justice that is due to him. I want to say this, too. You guys, we bring a lot of people on this show, and we bring them on there in hoping that they're coming on to help. And we have to learn when we're in those positions to make sure that we're not trying to make us stand out and then the person you're trying to help is not. Because I've been doing these shows for a long time, okay, dealing with Blog Talk Radio, I try not to come off cocky. I try not to come off arrogant, and I hope and pray that I'm not coming off like I know it all, because that's far from what my spirit is supposed to be about. I try to not take away from someone opposed to helping them out, taking away from someone I invited on my show or whatever. I want to make sure I have this nice and clear, and that everyone understands this is not how we're supposed to do this. we are supposed to be able to help each other no matter who we are. And we're supposed to be able to do it with dignity and humbleness, if nothing else. Be humble in anything you do. Have a sense of modesty about yourself, you know. Some people like to be on the forefront. Some people, we call them glory hogs. And then some people just wants to be, you know, I just want to make sure everything is all right. I want you guys to ever tell me if you feel that my show brings out the cockiness in me or the arrogance in me. I know how to bring it down a notch. I don't have a problem with bringing it down a notch. So I want you guys to make sure that I stay in check, because, I mean, that's what I'm, I mean, I'm not here to brag. I'm here to help. And if there's anything that I'm telling someone or anybody is learning from what I'm telling you, I want to say, take it. I can charge anybody I want for all the advice and the consultations I do, but I don't, and that's not what it's about. I think being able to have something God bless you with, you're supposed to bless others with, and that's just my theory. And so I'm not into the mode of being, you know, arrogant or cocky or, you know, I know it all, because I don't. And I'm learning every day. And with the people that come into my life, Lord brings me some great people in my life. So I have to say thank you for that, God. And that I'm hoping that I don't catch myself rambling. I'm hoping I'm coming to a point with you guys to understand that I'm here to help. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm not here to harm anybody. Catherine Connors, we working with her. I brought her on the show. Mary Neal, I've talked to her. And these are the people that we're trying to continue to interact with. We have Roz Ratcliffe. You know, people that are out there in the fields that are trying to do different things and trying to help people out. You can't help everybody, but the people that you help, you make sure you're helping them and not trying to boost yourself up. That's just how I feel about it. Okay. Tonight's show, I was thinking about, I said, well, what can I do, you know, what can I do the show on? Because usually when I had my Blog Talk Radio show a long time ago, I had everything organized. I had my subjects together. I had everything. I had already done my homework. Well, this show, I don't know why I'm kind of laid back on it, because whatever I need, I can find it. You know, it's not hard for me to find all the information. And if I'm wrong with any information on here, please feel free to tell me. My number, I forgot to give you my number, is 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. Now, the information that I usually get, I'm going to always, you have to learn how to give props to the person you get the information from. As you know, tonight we're talking about election time. You know, election time is, what, a month almost, a little bit over a month away, 60-something days away. And I said, you know what, this would be a great time to talk about election time. And our topic tonight is going to be, what are you voting for? And will your vote count? Now, those are actually should have been, when I wrote it, I should have broken them down to two different questions and have topic or have a subject matter up under each one of them. But me, the fast thinking that I do in my head, I didn't do that. But we're going to discuss it in a way where we're going to break it down. The first question is, what are you voting for? Okay. I want to first kind of go over why we vote in the history of voting. I want to start there because, first of all, what are you voting for? First of all, yeah, that's the question. What are you voting for? Why should I? So first of all, what are we voting for is the first part. Now, up under that, let's start out saying, what is the definition or what is the history of voting? Then we can probably answer this question, what are we voting for? Okay. According to IWantMyVote.com, we find out that there was a time when certain people could not vote. There was a time, let's talk about, first of all, that the type of people who could vote, the people who during the time in the 1800s who could vote, Okay. There is no right to vote in the United States Constitution. So that automatically we know it wasn't in the Constitution. So each state's standards have evolved separately unless federal laws were passed that applied to every state as one. But it was not like that. It says, when this country was founded, only white men with property were routinely permitted to vote, although freed African Americans could vote in four of the states. Okay? So out of our 50 states, only four of them would allow African Americans to vote at that time. White working men, almost all women, and all other people of color denied the franchise. They were denied. Women could not vote. Only white men with land could vote. Okay? Now, by the time of the Civil War, most white men were allowed to vote, whether or not they owned land or property. So it went from you had to own land to you had to be white, a male, and own land, to you didn't have to own land. You just had to be a white male. Thanks to the efforts of those who championed the cause of frontiersmen and white immigrants who had to wait 14 years for citizenship and the right to vote. In some cases, literacy tests, poll tax, and even religious tests were used in various places. And most white women, people of color, and Native Americans still could not vote. So, and before we go any further, you think about that. Okay? You think about the ideal that only, first of all, only white men with property could vote. Then here comes the Civil War. Now, that changed the whole face of things. You didn't have to have property, but you still had to be a white male. Remember, only in four states there were African Americans were allowed to vote. Now, most likely, African Americans had to be freed slaves. Now, they started because, you know, this is a way, it's almost like a voter suppression even when it comes out the gate. You had to take tests. There were taxes you had to pay, religious tests. How do you say that? We talk about religious tests, poll tax, and literacy tests that you literally had to take just to vote. Okay? That was a form of voter suppression back then. Now, think about it. You have to think immigrants had to wait 14 years for citizenship and the right to vote in some cases. Okay? Now, let's talk about white women still couldn't vote. People of color could not vote, and Native Americans could not vote. This is still going on in this time frame. Okay, then we say in 1866, the 14th Amendment to the Federal Constitution was passed. Whoo! Now we're ready, hopefully. Guaranteeing citizenship to the former slaves and changing them into the eyes of law from 3/5 of a person to whole people or whole persons. So, because of accountability, African-American slaves or slaves in general was considered 3/5 human. 3/5 human. They stress for accountability purposes only. Okay. Then all of a sudden, okay, it's no longer 3/5. We're actually whole people. I don't know. I've never met a 3/5 of a person. I don't know if you have, but if you have, please send me a picture of it, sensible64@yahoo.com, or just send it to me on the radio, on Blog Talk Radio, in my message box. Please send it to me. Because I have never heard of a three-fifth of a person. That's crazy. But this is America, our home of the brave. Well, no, I said that wrong. Home of the brave and something of the free. Home of the free, I don't know. That's how much I pay. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm anti-American, but some of that stuff I think is phony and full of crap. Okay, I'm saying just like that. Okay, now that happened in 1866. That's when the 14th Amendment came into place, which was guaranteeing former slaves that were considered three-fifths of a person to become a whole person. Wow. Then it says, in 1869, the 15th Amendment guaranteed the right to vote to black men, with most women of all races were still unable to vote. Okay? Isn't that something? Then, also during that time, 1869, this was the mark of the beginning of what they call black codes or state laws that restricted the freedoms of African Americans. Voter suppression, or literally not letting them vote. Among the freedoms restricted was the freedom to exercise the right to vote. Literacy tests, poll tax, hiding the location of the polls, economic pressures, threats of physical violence, and other strategies to suppress the African-American vote were either found in black codes or flowed from them. Now, okay, that sounds very relevant. Very important. There was suppression even before the voter suppression even started. So voter suppression came in during this time. But I think it was already in place. They just needed to find a place to put it. And it came around the 15th Amendment, which was 1869, which was actually 3 years to the day that the 14th Amendment was written. So just imagine what was going on between those 3 years. Amazing, huh? Okay. Let's see here. Okay. During that time, literacy tests, poll tax, which we talked about earlier, hiding the location of the polls. Listen at this. They hid the location of the polls from the African Americans so they couldn't vote. Man! Economic pressures, threats of physical violence towards somebody who wanted to vote. Now, this happened in 1869, way before civil rights, way before the Voter Act ever went into place. Man, the black codes. Now, what I want to do is I want to stop right there. And I want to look up black codes because I think that's very, very important. And I think it's something we need to talk about. Okay? Let's see if I can find it in here. And then we're going to go to a break and then we're going to come back. Give me a second here. Once we go to this, because I'm very interested in this. This is very interesting. Okay, the American Black Codes was from 1865 to 1866. Okay, these were the legal statutes and constitutional amendments enacted by the ex-Confederate states following the Civil War. This sought to restrict the liberties of new free slaves, ensure supply of inexpensive agricultural labor, and maintain white dominant hierarchy. Now, I want to see what ex-Confederate states. Oh, okay. Here's a list of the ex-Confederate states that upheld the Black Codes. You had South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, Virginia, Arkansas, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Okay. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Okay. Interesting. Okay. Now, it says, however, the history of Black Codes did not begin with the collapse of the Confederacy. Prior to the Civil War, Southern states enacted slave codes to regulate the institution of slavery. Furthermore, Northern non-slave holding states enacted laws to limit the Black political power and social mobility. For example, in 1804, Ohio enacted laws prohibiting free Black slaves from immigrating, into the state. Wow. In 1813, the state of Illinois enacted a law banning free Blacks outright from immigrating into the state. So you have Ohio and you have Illinois. Don't want no Blacks in here. Don't let them in. Okay? So these Black Codes wasn't no joke. It said Black Codes adopted after the Civil War borrow elements from the antebellum slave laws and from the laws of the northern states used to regulate free slaves. Excuse me, free Blacks. Okay, we needed to be regulated. What kind of word is that to use for human beings? They needed to regulate us. All righty then. It says some Black codes incorporated morality clauses based on antebellum slave laws into Black codes. Labor laws, for example, in Texas, a morality clause was used to make it a crime for laborers to use offensive language in the presence of their employers, his agent, or his family members. Wow. So, I heard of the Black Codes, but I wasn't familiar with them. You learn something every day. Now, it says, borrowing from the Ohio and the Illinois codes, Arkansas enacted an ordinance banning free Blacks from immigrating into its state. Okay, now we couldn't move around. We had to only be in certain places. Now, let you guys know. The only southern state they're talking about is Arkansas on here. Ohio and Illinois are northern states. They banned us from immigrating into their state. Wow. Whole nother ball game. But it says, in the end, the Black Codes were largely extinguished when radical Republican Reconstruction efforts began in 1866 and 1867 with the passage of the 14th Amendment and the Civil Rights Legislation. So we say this, radical Republican Reconstruction. As you know, our history, we all Blacks were first Republicans. I'm going to have to get back to why we changed. I might bring that subject up next week, why we changed from Democrats, largely going from Republicans to Democrats. And there is a story behind that. I might be able to bring it up, but right now I don't have it in front of me. But I remember that happening. Okay, it says, though the statutory lives of Black Codes were short-lived, they are significant in that they served as precursors to the Jim Crow laws, okay? So what they did was they got rid of one law, but guess what? They came up with another one, which was considered Jim Crow, which was very much so similar to the Black Codes. To me, they probably just changed the name of them. It says, for example, Arkansas passed a law prohibiting Black children from attending school with white children. Then it says the Texas legislature enacted a law requiring railroad companies to set aside a passenger car for Black passengers. See, little things, you know, and we don't pay attention to them. It's not that important, you know. Let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. It solves everything, right? Not. Okay. It says, while each ex-Confederate state enacted its own set of black codes, all of them shared certain features. First, they defined the term person of color. Second, they prevented blacks from voting, holding office, or serving on juries. Third, they prevented blacks from serving in state militias. Fourth, they mandated for poor unemployed persons, usually blacks, be arrested for vagrancy or bound as apprentices. Fifth, they mandated and regulated labor contracts between whites and free blacks. Six is they prohibited interracial marriages between whites and blacks. Now, isn't that something? Wow. So all we did was we went from black codes to Jim Crow, which I think is very, very weird. And excuse me, y'all. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to get back to my other page that I was on. Okay, we're going to go to a commercial. Excuse me, we're going to go to some, we're going to take a break right now, and we shall return. This is Say Your Peace with Salita.
Okay. Crazy boy. I got something to tell you, girl. Listen. Okay. Be without you. It's like a homeless man trying to survive and maintain, do the best he can. And what's a king without a queen on his side? It's like a body with no heart up inside. Sometimes we fuss and argue, but that's just part of relations. Inside it got you thinking, outside it got you hating. You know like I know, we can't stand to be apart. You like a vessel, connected to my heart. And I wanna know the things that make you happy, things that make you smile. One of these days, I promise you, gon' have my child. And every day is a blessing. When I see you stay, I want you in my life forever. Listen what the hook say. Love, you can be my twilight. Protect you from danger, let you explore the wildlife. And don't worry about no physical action. I never hurt your girl, only physical passion. Can't be too soft though, cause them the type that never last. Always give your girl room to breathe, cause she'll leave you fast. Same rules apply up in the man situation. It's like love turn to lust and ship off relation. You don't get it, I'm talking about relationship. And if you only have relations, then you might as well deal. But for me, I gotta learn communication. Keep it 100%, never no faking. Okay, now watch me switch it up one time for you. Okay, listen, girl. Okay. I got you smiling, I got you laughing. I love never depart, it's everlasting. You so sexy and so special, and every part of your body is so edible. So be my olive oil and I'll be your papa. Don't worry about the spinach, cause my stamina up all the time. So let's hug, baby, let our hearts pump together. We got that one love and shine through any weather. I got you happy like the Saints won the Super Bowl. You my number one draft pick, I'm never letting go. You the twinkle to my star, and you shine bright, and you stand out like the moon that come out at night.
Okay, I'm gonna have to work on my music because that didn't sound good. Anyway, I hope it sounds better on your end than it does on mine, because it sounds crappy on mine. Okay, we're back. I found my page I was looking for. I don't know how I lost it. We were getting the definition for black codes, and we talked about the states that were involved in the little tricky things that they did, or the little dirty tricky things they did. Excuse me, when it came to African Americans having the ability and the right to vote. We know that they decided to use violence, scare tactics, keep them from coming to the polls, poll taxes. They used their salaries or whatever the money they were making to keep them. If they didn't make a certain amount, they couldn't vote. They did literacy tests. They did religion tests, whatever they needed to do to stop us from coming to the polls and voting. Isn't that amazing? I wonder where all the history of voting and the history of voter suppression comes from. Why? The word is keeping the white dominant hierarchy. Okay. Now, it says, while strategies such as these are no longer legal, some have argued that the mislocation of voting machines in 2004, so that the white Republicans leaning districts had short lines and minorities in Democratic leaning districts were forced to miss work to wait in long lines, was equivalent to placing a new poll tax on African American and other minority and poor voters. As you know, there are 16 states, if I'm not mistaken, to this day who have changed, who have changed their laws on voting, which can tell you that voter suppression was going on then, 1860, 66, till now. It's still going on. We know about the hanging chads in Florida. We know about people being told one place, the polls were one place. They couldn't go use their card anywhere else. They only could go to that certain place, and if that certain place was full or the line was long, you just didn't get a chance to vote. That's almost like it says in the article, hiding the another way of hiding the polls, I guess you want to say, mislocating the polls. We talk about now I do know lately Texas got their law overturned. Supreme Court justice said, no, we're not going to do that. That's considered voter suppression, and we're not going to do it, which I think is great, even though I love the state of Texas. They still have they have issues just like we have here in Louisiana, which to me, it's not amazing. That's just how it is. okay. We have voter suppression, I said, in 16 states. We mentioned that. I can't remember what the states are, but we can find out before the end of the show. The ones who actually have changed their voters' rights, which consider the voters' laws and rules and regulations so that it would be blatantly voter suppression. Okay. Why do you think they're doing that? Why do they wait till now to do it? They didn't do it in the first 4 years. Why do you think they're doing it now? And that's going to go back to what are you voting for? That's all going to tie in together, okay? Now, okay, see where we're linked. Okay, then let's talk about the next thing. That was African Americans. Now let's talk about women's voting. Okay, it says initiatives to promote voting for women have been traced back to the 1770s. Okay, wow. But the modern movement for a vote for women traces its beginnings at the Seneca Falls Convention in 1848, when supporters of the Constitution Amendment to allow women to vote came together. Okay, women were smart enough to come together and say, hold up, why can't we? While their movement was slowed during the Civil War years, the two major suffragist organizations united after the war and pushed forward with a movement and culminating after many difficult years in the 19th Amendment in 1920. Okay, so they finally got a right to vote in 1920. Now, women existed a long time before that, but they didn't have the opportunity to vote until 1920. So they fought a long battle. Let's talk about Native Americans, Asian Americans, and Latinos. Some Native Americans became American citizens if they gave up their tribal affiliation in 1887, but many did not become United States citizens until 1924. That's a long gap from 1887 to 1924. Many Western states, however, continue to deny the right to vote through property requirements, economic pressures, hiding the polls, and condoning of physical violence against those who voted. Do you see the pattern of our great United States of America? Now, let's talk about Asian Pacific Americans were considered aliens, ineligible for citizenship. Since 1790, and interim changes to naturalization and immigration laws in 1943, 46, and 52, giving the franchise to some, but not all immigrant Asian Pacific Americans. Nevertheless, because citizenship is a precondition of voting, immigrants, Asian Pacific Americans, did not vote in the large numbers until after 1965. Just imagine all those votes that were missing. So I want to say this, and I want to throw this out here, and I'm just talking. Could it be a possibility that a lot of votes were missed and a lot of people that ran and a lot of people that were elected literally shouldn't have been elected? Could we say that? I mean, that's just something to think about. Could we say that? No? Okay. Then it says, immigrant Asian and Pacific Americans did not vote in large numbers. Okay, we talked about it. Asian Pacific Americans born on American soil were American citizens and had the right to vote. When 77,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry were put in American concentration camps during World War II, however, their right to vote was not allowed. Well, they were considered Americans because they were on American soil. Whew, Lord. See, this is the stuff I didn't know. So I'm saying this prior to me studying and bringing this to you guys. This is amazing stuff. And that's why the history of voting is very important. Okay, it says, for Mexican Americans, those in Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas, they were supposed to get voting rights along with American citizens in 1848 when the Treaty of Guadalupe, Hidalgo, ended the Mexican-American War. Property requirements and literacy requirements were imposed in those states to keep them from voting, and violence and intimidation were used against anyone who dared to exercise the franchise. Now, let's look at this. The words I keep hearing is violence, intimidation. Those are the words I keep hearing. Violence and intimidation. Violence and intimidation. Those are the things that they used against these people who should have had the right to vote, just like the African Americans and the Asian Pacifics and the ones who were in concentration camps. Why? Let's lock them up. Let's beat them. Let's intimidate them. Let's bully them. This is America. You know, people want to say, okay, well, that's not going on right now. They're not beating anyone. They're not telling people. Yeah, they don't have to physically put their hands on you to make laws and codes and acts to keep you from voting. They don't have to put their hands physically. Back then, they did it, okay? Again, just think about how many votes were missed. Think about how many votes were missed. Or were missed, excuse me. Now, the Sons of America organized in 1921 to fight the equality and the right to vote. But all Mexican Americans did not receive the right to vote until 1975. That is so crazy. 1975. Man. Okay, these are the reasons why. We just answered a great question. These are the reason why you should vote, because you have to think about all these people before you who did everything they could to vote. They were beaten. They were lied to. They were harassed. They were bullied so that they could not, I mean, just to scare them into the point where, okay, you know what, I'm not fighting it. I'm not going to vote. Forget it. It's just too much extra crap to go through to vote. Those are missed opportunities. I really believe that the people who served in our country as presidents legally were not legal because of voter suppression. Because there was never really, if you want to think about it, there never has been an accurate count. Because of what was going on back then, there was never an accurate count of who should be where or who should serve us. Okay, then it says the movement of the 1960s and 70s. This is the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965, enacted thanks to the pressures of Dr. Martin Luther King and a powerful civil rights movement, banned literacy tests and provided federal enforcement of voting registration and other rights in several southern states and Alaska. Even the state of Alaska was having issues. Now, it says 5 years later, the Voting Rights Act of 1970 provided language assistance to minority voters who did not speak English fluently. Asian Pacific Americans and Latinos were major beneficiaries of this legislation, because you got to think they couldn't speak the language. So people were smart enough to say, okay, you know what, we want them to vote, so what we need to do is we need to set up a system where we can teach them how to speak English and understand what they're voting for. I think that was an excellent idea. Okay, you guys, we're going to take another break right here, and we'll be back.
I'm in paradise. I'm in paradise.
Trying to be a DJ and do the show at the same time. I think I just got a message from Brian, but I can't answer you, Brian. I'm sorry. anyway, okay, we're back, and we're talking about voters' registration. Voters' rights. We discussed a lot in the first hour because we're going on We're 4 minutes. We got four more minutes before we go into the second hour. And, yeah, that's right. So let's talk about the current issues. Now, it says, thanks to a movement led by differently able Americans and their supporters, the Americans with Disability Act of 1990 was passed. Okay, now we're adding another, I don't know if I'm going to say class of people, because now we have persons with handicaps and disabilities, okay? I wonder how they treated them. Let's see. Let's see if it'll tell us. Okay, it says, it provided for ballot and poll access for those with disabilities. Enforcement of the Voters' Rights Act and other laws continued. So what that's telling me is, back then, even if you were in a wheelchair, if you had any type of disability, you had I don't want to say no access to the voting polls, but there was a limited amount of access to get to them. So that's something, that's another form of voter suppression. Because what was it for you to build a ramp or put the polls actually in a way, in a place where they could get to them? Or, you know, like people who are deaf, people who were blind, people who were in wheelchairs, people who were missing limbs. You know what I'm saying? So we have to look at the whole picture. Now, this is our United States of America, okay? I'm just saying. Okay? Then it says, after the 2000 election, the nation was confronted with over a million ballots never being counted. Okay, I'm sorry. I said 2004. I think this happened in 2000, according to this, I guess. It says, and numerous allegations of fraud in Florida and elsewhere. The courts forced the recount in Florida to stop, and it was only months later, right after September the 11th attacks, so few were listening, that recounts hired by major new organizations found that if all valid machine-rejected votes had been counted, the man occupying the White House would have lost the election, which was Bush, right? Yeah. In 2004 election, the struggle continued as challenges were raised to unfair voting practices in Ohio and other states. Okay, did we say Ohio? Didn't that state, isn't that state familiar? Anybody? Ohio. Didn't we talk about Ohio earlier? When it came to the black codes, Ohio, you keep hearing it, and it is a northern state on the East Coast. No, up north, straight up north. Okay. It says the use of electronic voting machines that leave no paper trail, massive removals of alleged felons from voter rolls, mislocation of voter machines so that minority districts had disproportionately fewer machines, and other issues were still prevalent. The Government Accountability Office started an investigation, and several states started recounts. Wow. Wow. Well, I like that. Because I didn't know that. So, we have a history. So, for all of you who believe that there's no way that this could have happened, let me enlighten you. Our great United States of America actually did this. They actually did this. Let me say this again. They actually did this. They literally mislocated polls. They literally pulled machines out of certain areas where African Americans were, so it would be less polls, less places to vote, lines were long, people would get discouraged, and guess what? They'll leave. Then you only could vote in certain areas. So if I wanted to go vote at the post office up the street or local school or the school down the street from my house, but it's actually not the school district that I'm supposed to be voting in, I couldn't vote there. I'd have to go drive on the other side of town to vote in the area that I'm supposed to vote in. By the time we finish, guess what? The polls will be closed because guess what? I don't get off from work till 4:35, 5 o'clock. Now, talking about that, that is what the problem's going on now. Shorter voters registration times. Now, early registration. From what they said as far as, and I say they, let me say the news stations or like MSNBC, those places like that when they're talking about voting. They stated that from a statistical point that African Americans seem to do the early voting. We're good at early voting, going in, getting it over with because of our hours of work time and school time for our kids and everything. So we go and we do our voting early. Well, guess what? Ohio included. There were states that changed how long the early voting should be, gave them an earlier deadline, voter suppression. And this is why I say America is so hypocritical. It is so hypocritical. So it's pitiful. It's terribly hypocritical. I don't understand that. Why would you do that? So you have states now, okay, if we can't do this to them, let's try this. Now that we realize that African Americans who are Democrats, most of the time, they go and vote early. They'll get all their voting done earlier in the week or earlier during the day, and then at nighttime, so they can go home and be relaxed. Republicans usually vote during the day or they vote during election time exactly on the date of election or whatever. So we find that there's a big difference there. So if we can get them to not to be able to vote early, guess what? We're doing good. Then that means they'll turn around and go back home and don't vote. That's what they want. But you guys, you have to look at the history of our people. Our people have had to always fight. Fight, 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 fight. So no matter what come election day, we need you to fight your way to the polls, be patient, and vote. Now, I know some of you guys probably work for people to say, you know what, I'm not going to let you vote. And if you vote, if you go, you better come right back. But you have to understand, boss, I have to stand in the long line because guess what? I'm an African American, and this state I live in that I pay taxes in, that I serve, that I make sure I have everything, my money is spent the same way in this state as a registered voter, as an American citizen. My money is spent in this state the exact same way as the next person. But you don't want to give me enough time to go vote. That's not right. Now, my thing, too, is, yeah, you. I see the point of you wanting to be white supremacy, hierarchy, whatever you want to call it, the male, white, male-dominated society, whatever. But you have to realize you're not stronger than the man above. And all the dirt and all the deceit and all the backroom deals and all the dark you do in the darkness, it's got to come to the light. And I want to tell each and every one of you guys out there who's always trying to do wrong to the people who are innocent and haven't done anything to you, you got your day coming. I'm talking to any elected official that has done so much to a race of people that pay their taxes, work every day, hardworking people, clean your floors, wash your clothes, wash, serve you your food, they have to come home and they have to do the same thing at home. And the pennies that you spend, that you give them in order for them to survive off of, your day is coming. You arrogant, cocky, egotistical. I can't say it anymore. I'm not going to go there. Your day is coming. Karma, I used to say it all the time. Karma is an MS. I'm going to say it like that. Karma is an MS. Because you're going to get yours back. We might not even see it. Because a lot that happened to these people who did all this voter suppression back in the 1800s, we might not have seen it. Or our people might have not seen it. But they got theirs. And yours is coming. And it's not about putting fear in your heart. It's that's just the law of the land. Whatever you do to others, it will happen to you. Or it might happen worse. And the person that you hurt, they might not get it right then and there. They might not even see it right then and there. But yours is going to come in some shape, form, or fashion. So all of this you guys are doing is out of fear, out of the idea that you feel that you're becoming a minority, out of the idea that you're insecure, Mr. Cocky, confident, bald, busting out chest, I'm the big bear. The things that you do are showing me that you're not all that you say you are. You're showing me that America is filled with so much hypocrisy. It's oozing out of our skin like sweat. That's what it's telling me about America. Hypocrisy, bullying. You know, we have all these anti-bullying laws, but we don't have them geared to the right people. We got it geared toward little kids. No, the kids are learning what their parents are doing. And this is why these laws are in place. We need to be reading our own laws, America. You got an anti-bullying law and you guys bully people on a daily basis? United States bully people on a daily basis. And this voter suppression is a form of bullying. But you don't see that you're doing anything wrong. And it's blatant. It's no more hiding how you feel. It's blatant. And you know what? When fear takes over us, we become desperate. And when you become desperate, you make decisions that are desperate decisions. Not good deciding decisions, but you're making decisions that are desperate, that a desperate, scary person will make. And when they make those type of decisions, there's always something wrong. Some kind of shape, form, or fashion, something is wrong. And we have to look at that. Which we don't. Because guess what? We don't care. We don't care. It doesn't matter. So what? I mean, I don't care. So what? This is not right. Because I'm about making sure that my candidate win by any means necessary. That's when you come to the tactic of being scared and desperate. And it's showing. It's showing that billions of dollars are being spent to make sure this certain candidate wins. And I say to you, you ask me, or I ask you, why should you vote? Why should you vote? Just for the mere decision or the mere reality of why you should vote. Or let me say that again. That didn't come out right. The mere fact that you should vote is because you have people out here that's done down years and years, hundreds of years of suppressing our vote. And that's why I say, if so much dirt is being done in the election and what is counted and what is not counted and who's counting and who's not counting and if that person is for real. You guys have to wake up. America is getting ready to get knocked on its ass, and I'm saying it like it is. They're getting ready to get knocked on their ass because you know what? It's time. It's time. It's time for America to pay the piper. Because whatever they are doing, it's going to come back on them, and it's going to come back on them tenfold. And it is up to them to make sure that whatever decision they make, that they're able to handle it. Because I don't see everything going correct in the right direction during this election. Not only during this election, but even after the deciding factor has been put in place. I don't see America being the same. I just don't see it. I don't see America being the same after the deciding factor and the person who takes that office gets there. I don't see it turning out the way that it should. I'm sorry, I could be wrong. I pray to God that I am wrong. I'm hoping that we can work together to make America and put America where it belongs, back where it belongs. Because it deserves that to a certain extent. And I don't think we're ready for that. Now, we talked about the black codes. This is why, what are you voting for? You're voting for the right to continue to live in a safe, happy environment, because what you're voting for and the person that you're trying to put in office is responsible for just those things, for you to live a safe, happy, and healthy life. Okay? We have to understand that it is very important that the person that we put in place in that office, whether it's President Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, whoever gets in there is going to do right by us, which we already know they're not. I mean, if a Republican get in there, this is just me. If a Republican get in there, I don't think we're going to get what we asked for. I just don't see it. But there is a possibility. Sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. That's going to be at our next break. Sorry about that. But we have to understand how important it is for us to vote. I'm devastated by the history of voting. And see, even I'm learning a lot out of this, and I never paid attention to it. I mean, not to say I never paid attention to it, I just didn't realize how deep that it went, the history of voting. I really didn't do my homework on that. But I'm learning in the process as well as I'm teaching you. So real quick here, we're going to take another break, but I want you to hear the history of voting real quick, and I'm hoping I can get it on here. Just a second.
Hello, I'm Perez Hilton. Did you know that more people in the United States check their Facebooks and watch the Super Bowl then exercise their right to vote? We've got some serious issues to deal with. So how come so many of us don't even bother to vote? Is it because we don't care? Or maybe it's because we don't know our history. So let's go back, way back. Our country's first election came after fighting for our independence, a fight that cost many lives, but it was worth it because instead of being ruled by a king, we were finally able to make our own laws. But not everybody was allowed to participate. You see, back then, you had to own property, be white, and a man in order to actually vote. Now, things continued that way for about 80 years, until after the Civil War, when slavery was abolished and all men were given the right to vote.
Now, hold up a minute. Just because we had the right to vote didn't mean we could use it. See, all these new voters wanted to participate, which threatened the people in power and their ability to stay in power. So they tried to stop us with violence and shady new requirements like literacy tests and poll taxes. We had to fight for nearly 100 years before the Voting Rights Act passed, which finally outlawed these dirty tricks.
And you weren't the only ones that had to fight for your right to vote. Somehow women got left out and had to organize and fight state by state. Until we took our fight to Washington and finally got our right to vote all across the country. And even once the laws guaranteed every person the ability to vote, you still had to be 21 in most states. So when our government began drafting people under 21 to go fight in Vietnam, they realized their lives were at stake and they had no say. Young people all across the country rose up in protest and demanded that everyone over 18 should be allowed to vote.
And since then, young people's votes have been crucial in deciding lots of big elections. Like in 2008, when a black candidate had a real chance to become president, young people showed up in record numbers. And every year, we make up a larger share of the voting population, giving young people more power, but only if we participate.
So let me break it down. Together, there is so much we can decide, like whether or not we should go to war, or how we spend our money, and how we power our lives.
We can determine who has the right to marry, and who has the right to choose, what possessions should be outlawed, and whether or not we should legalize.
It's up to you to make your choices and shape our future. If we sit on the sidelines, then others will make it work for them instead of us. So let's make our voices heard.
So what would it take for you to vote?
Okay, you guys. We're back. That's the history of voting, and very good. I never saw that video before, but I thought it was very interesting. Now do you understand the reason why you should vote and why we should be pushing this? And I have a Facebook page. I know a lot of my friends have Facebook pages, and we should be pushing videos like this on our Facebook page to get people out to vote. It's crazy. It is just, I don't know how to say it. It's crazy. And I'm hoping that we find a way to deal with this the best way we know how. We've got to be prepared for this because this right now is a very crucial time, for us as Americans. Whether you know it or not, a lot of people are living in America. A lot of people are what you called renouncing their citizenship. I was talking to someone about this. I don't know if it was on the other radio show or not, but I was talking about how a lot of us are making decisions to renounce and move to other countries. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's happening. I don't know what we could do about it, but people want to leave here. People literally want to pack up and go somewhere else. And how important it is for us to vote. You know, we want to say, I don't think I want to vote. It's not that important. But you realize, guys, it's very important for us. Our vote, you know, we get caught up in all the hoopla that's on television. Excuse me. And we're losing focus on the real issues. You know, to me, this is, and I maybe it's just me, this is like the most weirdest election time ever. Because there's you don't see the enthusiasm in the people that we saw back in 2008 and 2009. It's like these people, it's like being in a relationship and being beat up on. And you just keep getting beat up on, you keep getting beat up on, and you know, you're trying to figure out, how can I get out this relationship? I mean, I know that's a terrible, 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 how do you say that, scenario, but that's what I'm looking at it as. We've been beat up every way you turn around. Somebody's doing something to us. We've been bullied. You know, he's beaten us up. Our husband is America, and the issues that go on in America, and every opportunity we get to try to get away and try to get some peace and try to get ourselves back to revitalize or re-motivate ourselves, here he comes again knocking us down in some form, shape, or fashion. So we're trying to get away and we can't. And it just seems like from 2009, from 2008-9 till now, it's like we've gotten the hell beat out of us in every aspect. And we're just trying to say, okay, you know what, is it really worth it? And that's where a lot of people are. And, I mean, I'm not saying this to say that we're not going to get out and vote. I'm saying this because that's where a lot of people are feeling that right now. People are feeling that, okay, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired because I lost my house. I'm tired because I lost my job. And I'm trying to find other ways. You wonder why crime might be up in certain areas? It's because people are tired. They're tired. I'm tired of paying taxes to a society or to a state or a government that, I mean, they don't even want me to vote. It's unrealistic. You don't want me to vote, but you want my money. I work hard every day. And even the jobs that I lost, I'm trying to find a way to make up with that money. I'm trying to find a way that's legal. And you still treating me like back in the 1800s, like I'm just a brand new freed slave. That's not right. That is not right at all. You know? What can I do? How can I do this? How can I continue to do this? And not able to vote the way I want to. It's just amazing. And we continue to allow this to happen. You got people who are fighting against a lot of stuff, but are we fighting for the right thing? You know, we're taking away the unions, and please, please do not give, do not. Do not get the impression that I'm against anything. I am union affiliated myself. I was. And when I get back into the system again, I will be. I will be faithfully about the union. That's just how I am. I learned a lot there. I served a great purpose there. And I will definitely be getting back to it as soon as I get these degrees. I'm going to get back into that because I think it's a very important part of our history. Unions are a very important part of our history. A lot of things wouldn't have been able to happen if it wasn't for a union. Even though we've got bad reputation in the I don't want to go into that part, but not all unions are bad, and I'll say that. All unions are not bad. I know they have a sliver of bad publicity and mistakes that have been made, but not all of them are bad. And I can say that for myself because I'm not going to be affiliated with something that's not of good nature. That's just not me because my name is attached to it and I'd have issues with it. So, okay, we finished talking about what are you voting for, and we discussed it on here. We voted for our rights. We're voting for being able to marry who we want. We're voting for health care. We're voting for safety of our family members. We're voting for the right to legalize this and legalize that. You know, it just with that video alone, and I played it, those are the things that we need to keep in our mind just every day. Everyday things that we're allowed to do now can be taken away from us. I mean, look at voter suppression. I mean, they're working on that now. And there's other states that's working on it. But every dog got it today. Let me say that again so you truly understand what I'm saying. Every dog has got its day. You got to pay the piper one day. You've got to pay the piper one day. And I hope and pray that you're prepared to do that. All you ones out there that are so desperate and so insecure, you know, you don't show that America is a prosperous, a strong nation. You show that America is full of greed. You show that America is hypocritical. You show America being the bully that it is. You show America that you have thievery. You show America in those types of lights. None of the lights are positive lights. You're showing them in a negative light because of the things that you're doing. You're showing America, showing that America is desperate and will do anything. Even if it says take the food out of a baby's mouth, we'll do that because we need to stay on top. It shows America is arrogant and we don't have shit, excuse my language, to be arrogant about. We don't. We really don't. We show that America is almost being the laughing stock from other countries. That's what we're showing. And we don't have it. We don't have what we used to have. It's the strongest, the most powerful country in the world. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see it. Show it to me. Maybe I'm missing out on something. America has the largest rate of African Americans locked up. America is slowly but surely building FEMA camps all over the place. Concentration, FEMA, whatever you want to call them. That's what America's showing me. America's saying that, guess what? Because you're not white, you don't deserve to have the same voting rights as other people. So I'm going to do all I can to stop you from voting. That's what America shows other people. Oh, white people flock to America because when they get here, they don't know no better because of what the propaganda that America is this great country, that America is all of this. And look, if you look at the history of America, America has always been this little insecure, troublemaking country. I'm sorry. I might sound anti-American right now, but I think about all the things that we do to other people. I think about what we do to our own people and how sad it is. I think it's pathetic the way we treat our people. I really think it's pathetic. And I think it should be changed. I really think we should learn a lesson from treating people the way we do. I really do. I believe we should do that. I really do. And it's not good. It is not good the way we treat other people. And we need to learn not to do that. We really do. I don't know how to say it and what to say, but I think we should learn that. You know, that's why I said we're the biggest hypocrites. If we're nothing else, we're filled with a whole bunch of hypocrites. That's what we're filled with. we're going to take a break, and I want to see what I like to listen to real quick here.
If I could forget him, I would. Please believe me. And I know that I should draw the towel in, but baby, it's not that easy. Hey, you treat me so much better than him. And if I was saying there'd be no competition, but I'm in love with someone else, and I'm so sorry. Hey, I'm in love with another man. And I know it ain't right. Hey, you should go and find someone else who could treat you right, give you the world, someone who understands the man you are. Baby, you shine so bright, and I would just dim your star. A girl who treats you like you treat them. Boy, I know there's plenty of women who would love to have a man like you. But I'm in love with someone else. No, but what I did to you, baby. Oh, yeah. I can't explain why it's him and not you. But at the end of the day, baby, I just don't want to. She ain't no doctor, nah. And we always seem to hide. He got the perfect body, and sometimes he don't even treat me right. Oh, but when I'm with him, but when I'm with him,
okay, you guys, I hope that made you feel better. I liked it. Anyway, so I had to get, you know, how sometimes you have to just calm yourself down. Well, I needed to calm myself down. And you know what? That song kind of goes back to how we feel about America. Sometimes you don't treat me right, but guess what? I still love you. I love that man. I'm in love with him. And that song was perfect
for this the topic we're talking about and how we feel about our America and its voting rights and how, you know, we choose to vote. I mean, just amazing, huh? Okay, so we broke down, what are you voting for? And we want to find out, will your vote count? Now, that is a great question. Will your vote count? And we're going to find out if it's going to count or not, huh? We will find out. And how important is my vote? Give me 1 second here. Here we go. Okay. When we say, will my vote count? I wonder. And I know each state has electoral college, and that's actually where the voting, the decision comes from. Okay? And we can talk about the electoral college. And it says, how does it work? Let's talk about the Electoral College. It says, people of the United States elect a president every 4 years, but not directly. Here's how it works. In November of a presidential election year, each state holds an election for president in which all eligible citizens may vote. Citizens vote for a ticket of candidates that include a candidate for the president and a candidate for vice president. The outcome of the vote in each state determines a slate of electors who then, in turn, make the actual choice of president and vice president. Each state has as many electors as it has senators and members of the House of Representatives for a total of 538, which is the District of Columbia, gets 3 electors even though it has no representation in Congress. Wow. Now, in December, the electors meet in their respective state capitals to cast their ballots for president and vice president. States may or may not require their electors to vote with the popular majority, and they or may not give all the electors to the winner of the statewide popular vote. Isn't that something? These ballots are opened, counted, and certified by a joint session of Congress in January. If no candidate wins a majority of the electoral votes, or if the top candidate are tied, the House of Representatives selects a president from among the 5 candidates with the most votes. Wow. So the House of Representatives, only if there is a tie. Now, it says each state's delegation has a single vote. The Senate selects a vice president by the same process. Now, this hasn't happened since 1876, but it almost happened in 2000. I wonder why. What does this mean in practice? It means, as everyone learned or was reminded in 2000, that the candidate who receives the most votes nationwide does not necessarily become president. There is no national election for president, only separate state elections. For a candidate to become president, he or she must win enough state elections to garner a majority of electoral votes. Presidential campaigns, therefore, focus on winning the states, not on winning the national majority. That's why, and I learned, I guess I kind of picked up on it when I was watching the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. Each state came up, they told how many votes they had, which is the delegates, and who they voted for. Because they were talking about Mitt Romney, they named his name, and they told how many votes it was. And each state actually got up there and, let's see, showboated. Okay, that's what I want to say. Each state got up there and showboated a little bit about their state and then talked about the delegates and who they voted for. Okay. Now, it also means that, at least in theory, electors can throw the popular will and vote for a candidate not supported by the voters of their state. In practice, however, electors are pledged to cast their votes in accordance with the popular vote. And faithless electors who go against the popular vote are extremely rare. Okay? Now, had there been a faithless, elector in 2000, however, Al Gore might have become president. Wow. Now, when you're finished, put away all your reading material, including this handout, and write a one paragraph. Okay, I'm sorry. This was somebody's lesson. But overall, that's how the electoral vote works, the electoral colleges work, which I thought was very interesting. It says, and then it asks the question, does my vote count? Let's find out. It says, yes, your vote counts. Some people have complained since 2000 that if a winner of the popular vote doesn't become president, their vote doesn't really count. So why vote at all? But every vote does count. It just counts in a more complicated way. When you vote for president, remember that you're voting in a state election, not a national election. So your vote counts just as much as anyone else's in your state. But it may count more or less than the someone living in another state. Confused? Okay. What's a vote worth? Why does the actual weight of your vote vary by state? Remember that every state gets a number of electors that is the total of all its representatives in Congress, both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. The House of Representatives is divided approximately by population. Big states have the most representatives. Small states have the fewest. But every state has exactly two senators, regardless of its size. That means that while big states have more electors than small states, they don't have as many more as they would based on population alone. Keep that in mind. Consider three states. California, the state with the biggest population, North Carolina, a medium-sized state, and Alaska, with one of the smallest populations. Now, California's population is 33,871,648. They have 54 electoral votes. This means that 627,253 residents per elector. The weight of that vote is 0.883. Now, let's talk about North Carolina. It has 8,149,313. It has 14 electoral votes. Residents per elector is 574,951, and it has a weight of 0.91. So, altogether, we talk about the United States. It has 281,421,906 in this population. 538 electoral votes, 523,189 is the population residents per elector, and it has 0.00 weight of vote. Now, as you can see, we talked about Alaska being a very small state, has far fewer residents per electoral vote than the national average, okay, which they only have 3 electoral votes because it's small, okay? And so the individual votes cast in Alaska count more than the national average, twice as much. In fact, a voter in California has little less influence than the average American, about 83% as much. A voter in North Carolina has about 91% the influence of average American. You can calculate weight of vote in a given state by dividing the national average of residents per elector, by the state's resident per elector. Since we're comparing each state to the national average, the weight of the vote for the entire United States is exactly 1. Wow. Don't get it? You can read more about the math. But we're not going to talk about that. The paradox is, while every American's vote counts, then your vote counts more if you live in a small state like Alaska than it does if you live in a big state like California. This seems like a paradox because clearly a big state as a whole has more influence than a small state. If you're running for president, you are more concerned about winning California with its 54 electoral votes than you are able winning Alaska with its 3 electoral votes. As a matter of fact, as a matter of strategy, you'll probably spend more time and money campaigning in the big states than in the smaller states. As a result, the residents of the big states tend to get more attention in presidential elections than residents of small states. And so small staters may feel left out and unimportant. Wow. Yet in reality, each individual voter has less influence in a big state than in a small state. So they're saying big things are not all that it's cut out to be. Wow. Now, the question is that fair? That's the question. It certainly doesn't seem fair that a voter in Alaska effectively has more say about who becomes president than the voter in California. But Alaska is a perfect example of why the Electoral College was created. Because it's such a big state geographically, and because it's so far from the 48 contiguous states, Alaska has a unique interest that many would argue deserve representation equal to the interests of New York or California. Other big western states with small populations, such as Montana, North Dakota, would make smaller arguments. Of course, it's hard to argue that Delaware, which has 3 electoral and only 83,600 residents in 2000, for a weight of vote of 2%. Really? Has unique interests that deserve special consideration. The fairness of the electoral system has been debated for more than 200 years, and it doesn't appear that the debate is going to die any time soon. Wow. I just learned a lot. I'm amazed because I never understood the electoral vote college system. So it's not on the nation, the national average of the vote counting, it's actually from the states. Since each state has 2 representations, those are where I never understood that. Wow. Wow. And I'm supposed to be so smart, or I consider myself smart. But I guess I fooled myself, huh? Man. Whoa, I need a drink after this, you guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I could use a drink after reading this. Man. Now, what I want to probably try to do next week, or even work on bringing my show to weekdays. I'm really thinking about it. I really have to look at my schedule because I really would like to do that. We can go deep into the voting. We had a great, down to 8 minutes and 40, seconds, and I am just so amazed at all the stuff that we learned today. I mean, in this 2 hours, I learned so much, and I'm hoping you guys learned the same. I gave out the number once. I wasn't really looking for you guys to call in tonight. I just wanted to, you know, get the familiarity of back into I have words in my mind I can't pronounce at a time like this. I am so like, okay, whew, man, my head is just swimming right now. I'm sorry, but it is, it's swimming. I'm just so overwhelmed, man, at the dynamics of voting and how important it is for us to vote. We have to get up off our duff. I can say as, but we need to get off our duff and make this happen. It's just like, to me, and I could be wrong, it's like we're sleeping. It's like, man, you know I can get up and do all this stuff that I need to get done, but, man, I really need to sleep. And both sides are trying their best to convince us to vote for me. No, vote for me. No, look what I've done. No, look what I can do. You know, and it's really overwhelming for a lot of people. You know, and I noticed that, and I'll say it, and I mean it from my heart. This race is about race. It's not about race that's being ran. It's more about the race of the skin color. That's what I'm looking at. And to think about all the years we've had voter suppression in place, man, you guys, we've got to wake up. We definitely got to wake up. We really and truly, truly gonna have to wake up because, God, we're going to hit a moment in our lives that is going to devastate us, and we're going to have to make some serious decisions. And I'm thinking after this election, we're going to have to look at things differently. I really believe that. I really believe that we're going to have to be looking at things differently. And maybe we need to start now. It's like whatever decision you make with your life and with your families, that we need to look at it in a different light. We need to find some solutions before it's too late, because the greed is going to stay there. The people who are greedy, and believe me, there is some flaws in President Obama. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's the perfect person, because there is some flaws and there's some hidden agendas that we don't know about. And I think just with a little bit of research, we can find out what that is, what the hidden agenda is. It won't be hard for us to do. I just want to say we need to be careful. We need to know what's best for us as a society, as our communities, as our states, as our cities. We just need to be careful. We need to wake up, and we need to stop the fighting. We need to stop the fighting, and we need to stop treating people unfairly. We really and truly need to stop that. And I think everybody deserves. America is big enough for everybody to live in, and we need to be able to do that. And I'm just so amazed at the ideal that we're not taking advantage of such something that could make a difference if we come together. Everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe, but when it all boils down to it, you guys, we're all here trying to do the same thing, live and make a living and be able to take care of our families. And all the hatred, all the racism, it's way overdue to stop. It's way overdue. Whether you have it in your mind to want to stop, it's way overdue. It's tiresome. And we need to be on. This is 2012, and we need to be on that. But it's like we're going backwards. And no matter what we do, it's not enough. It's not good enough. We still, you know, we're so busy trying to be accepted by people who will never accept us. And we'll put our own fellow man down. We'll treat each other like crap in the process just so that we can be accepted by the other race, which the other race really couldn't care less about us, couldn't care two shakes about us. But we're steady trying to impress them, and we'll sell our soul. We'll sell our soul to the highest bidder. And it's easily be done. We've allowed greed. We allow money to take over, to make some serious decisions for us. We've allowed so many things to be to interfere in who we are and what we're trying to do. And the hidden agendas, the backroom deals, the backdoor deals, the under-the-table deals, is it worth it? And that's what America is built on. And you can say what you want, but that's what America is built on. It's not built on honesty and integrity and loyalty. America's not built on that. Because we sell out each other every day in some shape, form, or fashion. We find a way to sell each other out. So, I mean, you know, well, why are you still here? Why? No, I shouldn't have to move. If I don't like something about America, I should have a right to say what I want to say. I'm not threatening nobody. I'm just telling the truth about how America is. And I have a right to talk about. Quit being so damn sensitive when it comes to us talking about how our United States is. I mean, you got people calling it United Snakes because there's so much dirty stuff going on. And the way that it'll snap you and bite you, even though you fed it or even though you've taken care of it, when it gets tired of you, it'll bite you, you die, and you move on. Or you move on. I mean, that's just how it is. And the United States needs to wake up. America needs to make up. Wake up, or guess what? We'll lose out. We're no longer who we think we are. We still on this trip. We're in denial. We're on this trip that we're the strongest, powerful nation there is, and I'm sorry, I don't see it. I don't see it. So, you guys, I want to get ready to close down the show. I haven't decided what we're going to talk about next week. I really enjoyed this time with you guys, bringing the show back. It's awesome, amazing. I love it. I want to continue to do this, but there will be times when we will not be on air unless I find another way of doing this, or there will be times when I'll be on the air all the time. I'm working on that, where I can have a schedule where I can come on during the week. I love the Saturdays. I love the idea that I get a chance to talk to you guys at this time. I want to thank everybody who listens in. Even though we didn't have any callers tonight, that's fine. I'm not upset about it. Good. I hope somebody was listening and they learned something from what I said. Because the information out there is all about us reading it and getting it in our spirit and learning it and then keeping it in our mind. I hope I said something to help someone tonight, if nothing else. Next week, hopefully, Brian will be back. We'll be back on schedule, and we can get this going again. Tonight's topic was a great topic. We got the chance to learn about the black codes. We learned more about voter suppression and how long it's been going on. African Americans have had a hard time. All the other nationalities that are part of America has had a hard time, too. So I want to say thank you guys for listening in. Please come back next week. Love you. It's time for me to get out of here. I want to say thank you again, and you guys have a great night. Bye-bye.